Coming up on Patriots This Week. During the bye, the Patriots say hello to Aqib Talib.
You know, we're trying to improve and, you know, whatever we do here to, you know, try and win.
The trade deadline move bolsters the secondary.
I think he's a great player. I don't know if we're using the same way that they use.
The week off was welcome, even for the coach.
It's nice to have a week where just 1 week. You don't have to study. You don't have a game plan. You don't have a final exam.
But the focus is set. A championship run begins now.
That every game from here on out is the biggest game of the season.
So the lights are back on. Patriots This Week begins right now.
It may have been an off weekend for the New England Patriots players, but their head coach, Bill Belichick, was hard at work reinforcing his secondary. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak, and joining me each and every week during the football season, as usual, former linebacker Matt Chatham, former tight end Jermaine Wiggins. Guys, big move made at the trade deadline. I say a big move because of the type of name that comes in. Aqib Talib, we're talking about first-round talent, 18 interceptions for a secondary now you put him into that has been struggling. Matt, what do you think of the move, first of all?
Well, I wouldn't look past the fact that Rashai Dowling just went on IR. I think that's important, not that they're necessarily parallel to one another as far as ability or anything like that, but he was the long-bodied sort of talent that is probably as analogous to what you're going to get from Talib as far as body type. And now with him down and them sort of, you know, working through injuries in that secondary, I think this is the kind of body type that group needed.
Well, let's talk about the size real quick. He's about 6'1", 205.
Exactly.
But he played with the Bucky. He's a lot like the Bucky Jones.
That's similar. Yeah, okay. that's a good comparison. I think it's important to note, though, that he's available for a reason. And just completely staying away from the off-the-field stuff, he's about to come off a suspension to a team that's 3-4 that hasn't played well in the secondary that could obviously use him. So his availability is an on-the-field thing as much as anything for me. His size helps, but he's an up-and-down player, and that's why he's available. I think the one thing to look at is the way he was used in Tampa. I think will be used a lot different than here. I think he'll actually be an asset to the things the Patriots do. Tampa's very much a pressure team. He got left on an island quite a bit. It'll be interesting to see how they use him. I think he fits some of the things they like to do, though.
And he comes with baggage. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there's a rap sheet there. It's for everybody to read now. And nowadays with the internet, you could find anything on anyone. And Wiggy, I've heard you speak about it because you play with Randy Moss. And you know Randy, and Randy was here. And it worked when things were working. And Randy had, you know, his best days here. It worked with Corey Dillon. You look at this guy. It's really, what, a six-week trial for him?
7-week trial, yeah.
Basically. Yep. That's what it is, and that's what it comes down to.
What it does is it shows that Bill Belichick realizes that they have an issue in that secondary, and it's about self-evaluation in the bye week and how can we get better. And here's a guy out there that he feels like can help that secondary, that pass defense, get better. So he looks at it like, we'll get him for 7 weeks. We gave up, you know, in his opinion, he feels like maybe it's not, we didn't give up much to get a guy like this, but we really feel like he can help us get over that hump, which is winning another Super Bowl. Because I think when you make moves like this, it's to better your team to get to that position of winning a Super Bowl.
I actually think, as watching film, I don't think he's as good of a man guy, actually. I think he actually got beat up on slants and some of the tight coverage stuff. He's better when he plays from off and steals routes. I think that's actually where he'll help them more. The big thing that'll be tough to sort of translate is Tampa is such a pressure team. He was going after routes early in pressure where the Patriots won't do that. So where he'll fit in the scheme will be interesting, but I'd like to see him sort of off and
can they
and
start to do that
them.
Now, though, with
they
the
shouldn't.
Active front seven?
They shouldn't.
They're young, they're athletic
shouldn't.
Up front.
They should.
Match up outside a little bit.
The one thing you've noticed out of him as a player, if you watch him, he's very confident. And as a defensive back, a cornerback, when you have a guy who's very confident, and Ty Law is a guy that played that way, that style, and I think he makes everybody, you know, elevate their game to kind of maybe not get on the same level as him, but play with that confidence.
Say Chung, Gregory are back, Matt. You know, would you keep McCourty at safety or would you put him back to corner?
I think ideally McCourty is still one of your best corners on your team. So I think that's where he most likely belongs. But I think he does have a steadying factor from just the communication standpoint. I think that's really why he's been back there the last several weeks. At some points during the last week's Rams game, he was back there at safety and the other three or four spots in sub were rookies. You know, Ebner and Tavon Wilson and Dennard and Marquise Cole was a vet, but is new here. So I think it was a steadying factor as much as anything. When you have your communicators back, I think you put him back to physically what he does best, which is the corner position.
All right, the Buffalo Bills come to town. They're 3-5. I think they're 1-3 since the Patriots played them last. Rash of injuries, but more importantly, you look at the moves they made in the offseason, going up in a draft, trying to get the kid from South Carolina to play corner. The big one, the biggest free agent ticket of maybe the last 3 years, Mario Williams goes there for all the money. A lot of disappointment up there in Buffalo. When you look at them on defense, what sticks out for you? The injuries or their inability to get the quarterback?
Oh, I think their inability to get the quarterback, because if you look at, you bring in a guy like Mario Williams, obviously, you know, there are going to be injuries, Mark Anderson, but you have Kyle Williams, you have Marcel Darius, very good players on the inside. I think they had a pretty good defense going into the preseason. But the biggest thing is when you look at them, they really haven't made that jump to being, maybe a middle of the road defense, a good defense with the talent and the players that they have. And when you look at that, a lot of that has to do with coaching. You know, and now you got to start looking at who's the defensive coordinator up there. You know, why is he not able to get these guys in position or take advantage of their skill set and put them in a position where they can make plays?
Matt, when you played for Bill Belichick, and say you were making $100 million like Mario Williams was, and you texted the head coach and the team that, hey, by the way, I'm having some minor hand surgery, how would that fly?
Yeah, you don't do that. That's bad ball. And let's be honest. The guy that hasn't made $100 million and never will, we're not his agent. Those contracts are phony. We know that. So I think
that's the perception.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, and that's the but that's a problem. It gets stuck to his name every single time you say his name, and it's actually not true. But I think he has 4.5 sacks, which is interesting because I see bust. I think bust. We saw no pressure in the game.
I think he had 7 tackles last week against Houston.
Yeah, and that's my point. He actually played really well last week against Houston. His game tape was pretty good. He is still pretty disruptive. And the thing about pass rushers is it comes in pockets. I think at the beginning of the year, the story got written, this guy is not worth the money. He's got an injured wrist, which now he's texting about. Which is silly. And it's sort of that story writes itself.
They got some injuries, too, on defense, Matt. You look at a guy like Leotis McKelvin, who they moved from corner. Now he's safety. Now with injuries, Williams is out. He's got to go back to corner. They could kick you in a return game, too, can't they?
He is one of the most explosive guys. I think some people had him on their All-Pro special teams list for the year. He's dangerous. I think we're at that time of the year where we need to start paying a little more attention to special teams because the ball's going to come out. He's definitely a dangerous guy.
I think this is a tough game for the Patriots early because you're coming off the bye. Everybody expects you to win this game. It's Buffalo. Buffalo's 3-5. It's a 1:00 start. So you're going to get there at 12:30. I don't expect the place to be jacked up and loud, if you know what I'm saying. So I think the Patriots are going to have to fight a lot of things early in this football game. But they are coming off the bye, and during the bye, Tom Brady and Gerard Mayo went and saw Aerosmith. Brady looked interesting. I guess he has eyesight problems now. He had glasses on. Tom usually doesn't wear glasses.
Well, that's probably the whole basketball thing. Everybody
wears
glasses.
It's the whole LeBron James, Wayne Wade thing.
Yeah, it's the whole.
So those are just for chicness, right?
Yeah, that's probably, you know, probably glass frames.
You'll be wearing them next week.
No, I won't be wearing them. I don't want to look like Urkel. But I think, like you said, when you look at this Buffalo game, it's the perfect word that we use, you know, for guys who played in the NFL and coaches say, trap game. This could be that trap game. Coming off a bye week, you look at it.
Head coach is letting them.
I understand that, but you still there. Like you said, you gotta go out there and you gotta manufacture that energy. You know, it's one of those games. You're coming off a bye week. You expect to beat this team, and if you don't get that energy going, you know who knows. You got to look at this game. They had an opportunity to go up 21-7 at the half if CJ Spiller doesn't fumble on the 1 yard line.
It's a Houston team that everyone's a little bit scared of. They also looked really good last week. So I think they've beaten some decent teams, so I think there's somebody you don't want to look past. And it's a division game. That helps.
There's a poll out by players, and there's a coach on there that they called overrated. We'll get into that next when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Bagster, Dumpster in a Bag, can take it on. Visit thebagster.com for more info.
Danny Woodhead is this week's Putnam Player Spotlight. The diminutive running back has been a key third down contributor for the Patriots ever since he signed as a free agent. Over the past 3 games, the 5'8", 200-pounder has 14 receptions. And it was his clutch third down catch and run for a touchdown that helped the Patriots come from behind and blow out the Bills the first time these two teams met. This Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Time now for our rants and raves. And the Sporting News put out a poll, and they polled 103 players on 27 different NFL teams. Most overrated NFL head coach. First of all, who comes to your mind first? Gotta be down in New York, right?
Yeah.
We're going to the Super Bowl.
Sexy Rexy.
Rex. Well, obviously, Rex Ryan was number one on that list. Guess who came in number two? Bill Belichick came in at number two. Why is that the case when your quarterback goes down 7 minutes into the game, 7 minutes into your first game back in, what, 2008? You win 11 games with Matt Cassel. How's this guy overrated?
I don't understand. To me, that's kind of mind-blowing. Here's a guy that had the number 31 or 30 ranked 32nd or 31st ranked defense against the pass last year.
Yards
and brought them one catch away from the Super Bowl. I don't understand that.
It's sort of a rebuilding year, right?
And rebuilding it, but I think it's more or less his personality.
But he doesn't draft well.
But I think when players look at him from the outside, I think it's his personality. And when players look at him, I don't really think players like him.
Matt.
Dumb poll, dumb concept, dumb idea. Don't know why they do this.
Is it jealousy? I mean, is it because it's...
Here's the thing. Sporty news, this is TMZ stuff. And I think if you look at some of the responses, I did check the poll out knowing that we were going to cover this. Some of the people's responses is exactly what Wiggy's saying. I don't like how he handles himself in press conferences. They're throwaway comments, though.
How do you evaluate the credibility of the players that are polled here when you're asked another question later? And I'm going to read it exactly. Vote for the best organization as an NFL franchise. The Patriots won by a 34-21 margin over the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You ask every player in the NFL, I'm willing to bet 90% of them would say, I would love to play for the Patriots organization.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's kind of, yeah.
The data doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
People's opinions, polls, throw them all out.
There's one more interesting stat, team-related. The Kansas City Chiefs have not held a lead through, what, 8-9 games so far in this 2012 season. You guys played for Rack. You know what Rack's like. You guys were here when Pioli was here. How hard is it on those two individuals, do you think, right now, what's going on in Kansas City? Start with you, Wiggy.
Well, you know what, I think it's very, you know, when you look at Rack was...
Romeo Crennel.
Yeah, Romeo Crennel he's a great guy to be around, great coach, great defensive coordinator, but sometimes, you know, when you're asked to wear all the hats, it's completely different. You know, there's a lot that goes on to it, and I just seen where he stepped down as the defensive coordinator, and that just goes to show you that there's a lot of things that you have to do. And, you know, when you look at Kansas City, you thought they were that team. You know, I know Scott Pioli. Yeah, and I know Scott Pioli, and I know he's one of those guys that, you know, he's very good when it comes to evaluating personnel. And you think, okay, Kansas City, that's that team. They got Dwayne Bowe, Matt Castle's coming back, and now they're kind of like, what's going on here? And this, I think, Rack's probably done after this year.
All right, guys, coming up next. Our best and worst at the halfway point. I guess we call it the midway point of the NFL season when Patriots This Week continues. With the injuries that the Buffalo Bills have in the secondary, meaning Williams is going out from the corner position, Leotis McKelvin, who's pretty good at safety and getting comfortable there, he moves to corner. He could also kill you with the other thing, the kick return game. Watch the Kansas City Chiefs punt the ball away here. He does what Devin McCourty does, picks a lane, makes one move, gets up on the next guy, another move, and bam, he's through the gate. So, Patriots have been really good with Mesko kicking away from guys, directional kicking deep inside the 20-yard line. McKelvin can kill you. Last thing you want to do, score, and then give up a big one. Here's a nice end zone view against Cleveland. Watch the wall start to get set up right here by Buffalo on the outside. Watch the patience. He comes inside. He knows the wall's there. Look at him tightrope it right along the sideline. Yeah, he gets down there, but the last thing you want to do, give Ryan Fitzpatrick the ball up around midfield. This is awful right here. Look at the San Francisco 49ers. Well-coached football team. All bunched up on kick coverage. So what are you going to do? You come in the middle. It's almost like everybody get around the ball, hide the ball, and then let's bounce it around the outside. So the last thing you want to do when you have a young defense that's playing well, coming off the bye, is give the Buffalo Bills the ball to 50. Watch out for Leotis McKelvin. 133 games have been played so far in the NFL. 123 are left till the end. MVP here at the midway point. Matt, let's go with you first. Your defensive guy, it's probably going to be J.J. Watt for you, or you're going to go with Matt Ryan, Peyton Manning? Who you going with?
Yeah, I'm going with Matt Ryan. I just think
that's
the throw.
Without ever winning a playoff game, it's amazing.
Well, we're doing midway points.
It's Matty Ice.
You know they don't have playoff games in October, so that's, I know.
Seems like we're doing this in Atlanta at the midpoint every year.
They're undefeated, so you got to give it to them. And I think the other guys that would be competitive in this conversation would be like a Manning or a Brady, but they're on 5-3 teams. And I think since we're talking the leadership leadership position. They brought him to that point. He's been efficient. I think the one thing, if you just want to numbers the two guys, Tom and his numbers are actually pretty analogous, but the team is, has a little bit better record. Manning similar as well, a few more touchdowns, also a few more picks.
It's about the same right there, 17 touchdowns, 6 picks.
It's the 6 they're picks versus the 3 picks thing.
69%.
Yeah, so you go with the team winning percentage, and the Atlanta's kind of had a turnaround season, so I'll give it to Matt Ryan.
My MVP actually goes to the Chicago Bears defense. I mean, if you look at their defense.
Left field here, yeah.
You look at their defense, they lead the league in interceptions. You look at the way they create turnovers. I think Tillman's leading the league in forced fumbles. I mean, and just watching him as a player, he's always thinking about getting that ball out. Lance Briggs is having a great year. So I look at the Chicago defense, and they're 7-1 right now. And, you know, offensively, you know, you talk about Jay Cutler and how he's inconsistent. So a lot is riding on that Chicago defense. So I'm going to go with him.
I'm going to go outside the box, too. I'm going to go with Manning here. Because going into this year, there was a lot on this guy. I mean, I remember the interception the first half against Atlanta. What was that, like game 2?
3 of them.
Then all the article, we need Tim Tebow to come back. We left the franchise guy, go for this guy. No. Peyton Manning went there knowing that I've got to go here and I've got to win. Your favorite rookie so far, Wiggy?
You know what? Everybody's going to go
MVP with rookie.
I got to say that you got to give it to RG3. If you look at him, I know his numbers are not as good as, say, Andrew Luck, but he's got 8 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, nice quarterback rating. I think he's got a couple touchdowns rushing the football.
6 rushing touchdowns, 8 throwing.
But I think if you look at him, you know, what he's been able to do, I think right now he would be
3 interceptions.
And that's the key. And even though he doesn't have a lot of touchdowns, he's not in the double digits. It's 8 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. That's very good.
I give Mike Shanahan real quick, man, a lot of credit because he took on the Baylor offense. And he didn't say, hey, RG3, you're coming to Washington, and we're going to do what we did with John Elway. And I'm going to take a round peg and I'm going to fit it in a square hole. We said, you're comfortable. We're going to run Baylor's offense. And that's what they did. You're a rookie MVP.
Well, mine's a little easier. I think you have to go with Andrew Luck. Not necessarily doing a quarterback comparison between him and RG3. They're entirely different players. I think both have been really good in their own right. I think the issue here, though, is we're talking MVP, most valuable. I mean, you look at that team last year, Indianapolis almost slid into the SEC. I mean, that team was really bad. They went from losing one quarterback position to basically going from a 14-2 team to a barely get a win team. And now they're back to competitive. You know, and I think this guy, the quarterback position, unfortunately, the way the league is constituted now means a lot. And that guy stepping in, doing what he's doing, they're damn near a playoff team. And I think that's what the MVP is all about. Well.
I'm going to say ditto, because everything that I said about Manning and everything he took on with Denver, it's almost times 10 for Luck because he's replacing legend in Indy, and it was supposed to be rebuilding. They're sitting there at 5-3. We're going to see them next week all of a sudden because Andrew Luck is playing like the Andrew Luck who was supposed to be playing, the number 1 overall pick. That game gets flexed. It's a 4:30 game next week. Primetime stage. Coming up next, we get to do our picks again. Yeah, we were 3-0 last week.
Hey.
Yeah. We had the bye week. Coming up next, our predictions when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. By Bose, the official sound of the Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
I'm Brian Lowe, back with the latest edition of the Fantasy Lowdown. Hard to believe, but in 8 career games against the Rams, Alex Smith has thrown just 2 interceptions. Hosting St. Louis Sunday, he's a guy to start, coming off one of his best outings of the year. Might be time to give up on Jeremy Maclin, just 1 touchdown in his last 6 games, and the Eagles face Dallas's 5th-ranked pass defense. But closer to home, a solid sleeper is Shane Vereen. Remember what the running game did to Buffalo in Week 4? Vereen could be a bigger part of that on Sunday. That wraps up the Fantasy Lowdown, brought to you by Verizon, the official wireless and telecommunications provider for the Patriots.
All right, time now for our predictions against the Buffalo Bills. A 3-5 team coming to Foxborough. Matt, second time. Last time they faced the Bills this year, will they stay undefeated within the division?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I don't think this is going to be close. I think this is going to be a Patriots blowout. I'm going 37-10. I don't think the Buffalo Bills offense has been really searching for itself, and you're coming up against a defense that's starting to grow and mature, and this Patriots offense is clicking, and you got them with a week off to think about things.
What do you have, Wiggy?
Let's go Buffalo. Not this week. I like that. I like the Patriots 34-21. too much offense. I think the Patriots are going to look at what they did wrong against them last game, and they're going to say, hey, you know what? We're not going to come out. We're not going to stumble. Not going to fall behind. I like the Patriots.
All right, I'm with you guys. I like the Patriots big in this game. 31-13, they win by 18. Too many weapons. Coming off the bye, Aaron Hernandez is back. Spread the ball around. Let's have a happy feeling at home. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Patriots This Week. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. See you next time on Patriots This Week.